Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Two Townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Good morning. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Pretty standard on the show to at least start the show with the thing that is top of mind for most people, the game that most of you watched yesterday. Big win. I'm, of course, talking about the United States women's soccer team at the World Cup, Frames. What was your favorite goal scored in the game yesterday?
Oh, that's what we're starting here?
Isn't that what everybody watched yesterday?
Not with the Brewers. Not with Packer Minicamp. Not with Katie.
Well, no,
Not Game 7 of the Stanley Cup tonight?
No, we talk about what people are talking about. Am I wrong?
Maybe a little.
Is the World Cup not on everybody's mind?
I think people were, if anything, it was lopsided score, 13 to nothing. And the Morgan girl getting five girls. Well, I mean, she's not exactly a household name. Sorry.
Alex Morgan.
Excuse me. I don't know her name. Alex Morgan with, five or six goals?
Five.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure a handful of people watched it.
A handful.
Yeah. I'm sure a handful of people watched it. But
I went out for it yesterday.
Okay. Well, you come from a soccer family. I didn't know it until later on in the day when it popped up on my my alerts, and I said, okay. I mean, they covered the 5.5 goals that people were betting on.
Yeah, the spread was 5.5.
You got sucked in on 5.5 on Thailand. Shame on you.
A soccer spread was 5.5.
Yeah.
Probably the first time.
I think if a line is that high, if somebody's favored by 5.5, 6 goals, which is unusual, I guess, for soccer, I would think that just tells you that maybe you should probably go on the favor there. Why would you even get sucked in on Thailand?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you did, that was a mistake. Yeah. USA wins 13-0. We'll touch on that a little later because everybody's up in arms that the USA is good enough to score 13 goals.
Yeah, I did hear one of the goals that was scored by the Morgan girl. And Julie Foudy, how about
Foudy,
that?
Former
yes,
Women's World Cup player.
It sounded like she was upset on the broadcast.
Yeah, they gross overreaction.
But we can get to that. Didn't realize scoring a lot of goals for our country was a bad thing. But
no.
Well, we could delve into that.
Yeah, those of you that want
dive
to
into
hear
the end zone
about that, please stay tuned. We will keep the fish hook just slightly away from you before you can chase that one down. We will start with the Brewers. They lose 10-8 yesterday. And, the Astros are a good team. They're dealing with some injuries. They still have guys that are stepping up. Tyler White looks like a guy that would crush, beer league softball, and he's out there mashing a home run last night. They've done a good job of when they've had guys like Altuve and Correa and these guys that you know about. They've gone down, they've had guys step up, and they're still a very good team. The Astros also play in a very quirky park. The Brewers haven't played there since 2013, and I forgot just how weird that park was. Now, they did get rid of the hill. Remember, there used to be a hill?
Yeah, stupid.
In center field.
Why would you put a hill on a baseball diamond?
Well, nobody ended up ever getting hurt, which is a surprise, because in center field, there was a slanted hill.
Mm-hmm.
Minute Maid Park was built around 2000, and that's kind of the time when these newer parks, how Wrigley's got the ivy, and then Fenway obviously is the Green Monster.
Even Miller Park's got a quirk. The center field fence where it's faced kind of toward left field, if it bounces, I've seen balls bounce off that wall, ricochet past the center field, go for an inside the park home run.
Well, Miller Park's one of them. There's all these baseball parks that over time have developed unique things about them. And then when the new parks, there was a wave of new parks in the 90s and early 2000s, they all wanted to have a quirk. Mm-hmm. You know, they all wanted to have something like that. And Houston decided, let's take it further and let's build a hill in center field. So all those, think of if it was at Miller Park, all those balls that Lorenzo Cain has robbed in center field, think if he had to time himself running up a hill. And then not only that, there used to be a flagpole on the field, in the middle of it. So,
why?
That at least was removed 3 years ago. But there's a very short porch in left. There's a very short porch in right. The walls are, you know, you can like hit screens. Mm-hmm. It's just very weird. I wouldn't say that's why they lost. I just, you know, you forget because you don't see the Brewers play there for 6 years. Just how different of a facility that is.
For the longest time, I think Fenway might have been the only quirky stadium in that the fence was so big and so short. It was like, you know, the Green Monster. That was like a quirk. It's like, God, the fence is so short, yet it is so tall. And when balls went flying, you know, on TV, when balls go flying over the Green Monster, like, man, how do they get it over that wall? But then it's not as far out. Now they got seating out there, which is, you know, they take advantage of, finally, after all these years, they say, well, maybe we should put some seats out there. But yeah, every ballpark is, I mean, I think these new ones try to have their own little, you know, not cookie cutter stadiums anymore.
I've never decided if I like that ballparks are different or if it's weird that ballparks are different based on, I mean, because you play a football field, everything's regulation size, basketball, soccer, hockey, it's all the same dimensions. But baseball's the one sport where it's completely different. The Brewers in right field, you know, they have that restaurant in there, so they took it in a little bit. I think right field, I have it here, it's 345 feet out to right at Miller Park. At Minute Maid Park, it's 326. So there was a home run last night that fell in the second row in right field where Christian Yelich had sort of badly mistimed. But even that shouldn't have been a homer in most other parks, and it was in Minute Maid Park. Left field porch at Miller Park, it's 344. In Houston, it's 315.
Yeah, well, that
in right field, elevated a little bit,
like,
too.
At Miller Park, when they first built it, I thought right field was short. And then they put that little rascaler out there that you're talking about. They moved it in further. It's like, man, I mean, righties just, left-handers just love it. Like Yelich, I mean, man, Yelich, you get a line drive and it's going out. And a fielder used to take advantage of it all the time. You know, that short porch in right field. But, you know, I mean, every ballpark has got those sort of quirks. But I just thought putting out a hill at Minute Maid was just, you know, when you're sitting around, you know, the board of directors table, you're thinking, how can we make our ballpark different? Let's put a hill in. Oh, that's a good idea. So somebody could run up the hill and catch a ball and run into a flagpole.
Yeah, the flagpole was in the park.
Doesn't make any sense.
The history on it is in 96 when the Astros were designing a new stadium, which because they used to play in the Metrodome or the Astrodome. The owner was like, I want to make this ballpark special. What can we do? So they built it for the intention of having a quirk. And I can't believe that baseball allowed that.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to build a park with a hill. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Do you remember the first time going into a ballpark that had a dome?
That had a dome?
Yeah. How weird it was to see baseball in a dome. I was down in Houston.
I don't know. I don't think I went in the dome until the Metrodome in like the 2000s.
Well, I mean, the Miller Park would have been probably for you when the roof was closed at Miller Park. First time you walked in there, maybe?
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Just seems weird. It just seemed weird seeing baseball inside. Now, it just seemed odd. I mean, I would go into the Metrodome, too. I mean, just going inside the very first time to see a sporting event just seemed odd. Because when you see baseball outside forever, and then you're going inside to see a game with the roof covered, and now with the retractable roof at Miller Park, which I love, it's just a little different feel to the game. And then after a while, you get used to it. But just that first time seeing a sporting event, a baseball game, which was, you know, growing up, it's just outside all your life, and then you're going inside to watch a baseball game. Just seems kind of different.
Well, so, like a park like Houston and Arizona, they have the roof to prevent the heat.
Yeah, how odd. Miami, but, too.
Up here, we have it to prevent, like, the rain and the cold. Our old friend Rami Makhlouf from The Big Show now is in the Twin Cities, and he's trying to start a movement to put a roof on Target Field because he thinks it's ridiculous that they're, you know, how many games they miss out on. But the Twins fans say, no, it's great to play baseball outside, and they're willing to sacrifice some of the games in April and some of the coldness in September and late in the year and early in the year, because it just feels more like baseball is the argument when you are outside. Do you lose that at Miller Park? Have you lost that over the years? When it's closed, do you think this sucks?
No. I thought Sunday.
It sucks when it's open and then they close it and it's humid.
Yeah, I thought Sunday.
You can smell everybody's armpits.
Bart, I thought Sunday should have been open. 68 degrees. And then when the rains came, then close it and then open it up again. I don't know what's the big deal about opening and closing it. And I mean, just as long as it's nice outside, the temperatures are in the 60s, keep it open. But I understand Maklov, what he's trying to say there. I mean, I agree with him. I mean, there's a stretch of last season, I think they had like 3 or 4 cancellations in a row, and then you got to make them up later in the year and day-night doubleheaders and all that. But I just, you know, the roof on Miller Park, people are sure of going to a game, you know, at least with comfort. But, you know, I feel at times, though, they could have that thing open when they do have it closed, like this past Sunday. But I think people who remember the Old County Stadium, when they would draw 5,000 fans out there in April and May for nice weather games, even. I should say nice weather. Maybe, you know, temperatures were in the 50s, but people still didn't want to go outside and sit out and watch baseball. Now they won't, you know, you'll never see 5,000 or 10,000 fans at Miller Park unless the Brewers are really, really bad. You'll see that. Because I think the people like to go in and knowing the fact that if they go to a game, that they may not have to bring a jacket because they're always going to be sitting in comfort.
Well, and you know that you can be assured a game, like you mentioned. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a big thing for a team like the Brewers. Do you know how many games they probably would have had postponed this season?
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
The weather has not been good. If it's not cold, I mean, what is it going to be today? 60 and rainy? Now, they are obviously on the road, but this would be another day where you wouldn't have baseball. And there were a ton of days in April, and sometimes we fight snow in April. And not only does it make the Brewers have to postpone and make up those games, like in Chicago last year on the stretch, one of the reasons maybe the Brewers were able to catch back up to the Cubs was they had so many games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had no days off like in September.
Yeah.
Because they're making everything up.
And I think one of those was a rain out at Washington. They had to go back to Washington and play because they don't have a retractable roof.
Oh, I do remember that.
But the Old County Stadium, there, you know, you'd go to a game and you'd, you know, the game would be rain delayed to start, but people would be still in the ballpark and you'd walk around and you'd hang around. And then finally, maybe an hour into it, about 8:30, because that's when starting times were at 7:30 at Miller Park or at County Stadium. Around 8:30, they would have an announcement. Bob Betts would come on the PA and on the scoreboard, tonight's game has been canceled. Please hold on to your rain checks as a future date will be announced. And then he went home. And it's like, man, you just wasted a whole night hanging around during this rain delay.
Yeah, there'd be nothing less exciting, I think.
But, I mean, I've been at Miller Park, County Stadium, where a game hasn't started till 10 o'clock at night in the summer when a team
who
is making.
Who stays for that?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. You could hear people. You could be in the upper deck, and you could have heard people on the field talking. It was, there's nobody staying. A weeknight at 10 o'clock because they had to get the game in. And the game would get over at, you know, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, but they had to get the game in because there was a 3-hour rain delay.
And, like, if you're a fan and it's the one game that you were able to get to that summer, and you've cleared your schedule and you say, all right, son, come on, we're going to the game, and then it's raining, and then you're screwed.
Yeah, or if you took a bus down.
Then now your kid hates baseball all because of a rain.
Sure, yeah, but, I mean, if you took a bus down from like if you took it over from Madison or he came down from Green Bay or up north, you know, some of those bars do bus trips, came all the way down and he didn't have a game. And it's like, man, he came all the way down and no game. How ridiculous.
So we agree 20 years after it was built that we like the roof of Miller Park.
Oh, yeah.
We've come to that conclusion.
Yeah, but just not a hill on the stadium, in the stadium like they had in Minute Maid.
Yeah,
or Centron Field when it was built.
Enron Field.
Or Enron.
Enron. And there was one more, right?
Was it? You might have been right. I think it was 3 different names.
I'm not sure. Minute Maid Park. I have it here. The ballpark at Union Station.
Okay, barely remember that name.
Then it was Enron.
Okay.
And then Enron had a thing where they couldn't sponsor anymore. Then it was Astros Field.
Yeah, Enron had a big problem.
Yeah, so that was, and they used to have a train. We haven't even talked about the train.
Oh, the train's not there?
I don't think the train goes through
anymore. Okay, I mean, it's not on the field. The train isn't picking anybody up on
No, that at least was outside of.
Yeah, but I remember hearing about the train. Right. But like even like San Diego, when they built Petco Park or whatever the hell it's called today, it's they had I mean, with the warehouse and all that, they put all that new design in it. Camden Yards, when it was built in the 90s, people loved going. Now, people don't go to Camden Yards anymore because the team is terrible. But Camden Yards, when that first came in the early 90s, that was like a model ballpark. It was like, man, Camden Yards, how beautiful this park is. Now you don't even think of Camden Yards as like one of those places.
So we've established where the Brewers played yesterday in the American League Park of Minute Maid Park and American League Stadium, obviously. A high-scoring game, which the Brewers just fell short of because they left a lot of guys on base again last night. We'll take a look at the game in the Brew Crew Review. You guys are always welcome to chime in, jump on board, 414-799-1250. We'll have some All-Star voting updates this hour as well. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins.
Spring at Perkins means fresh strawberries are here. Stop by to try the new fresh strawberry crepes or the fresh strawberry croissant French toast platter. Fresh strawberries, the naturally sweet way to start your day. Only from Perkins. Now, it's Chuck and Winkler's Brew Crew Review. Brought to you by Bofording Beer. Bofording is Milwaukee's smooth drinking import. Try it at your nearest Total Wine location. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. One thing that I do not do during these shows is make up tweets. I've always, you know, just because sometimes there's things that you can't believe get tweeted in and sometimes they're critical of me, and sometimes, Chuck, they're critical of you. I just want people to know those are 100% real.
Oh, yeah. We wouldn't be making up stuff where people are criticizing us.
No, no. So I want you to know that this is a real tweet from Corey. Hey, guys, how much time are we devoting to the U.S. World Cup match today from 7 to 8, from 7 to 9, or 7 to 10? Can't wait. Your response?
I'm going to read another tweet in response to that.
At Chuck Freeman says.
At Chuck Freeman says.
Soccer's
Freeman's,
terrible.
You are so right. The downplay, talking about women's soccer today on the show. Keep up the good work and keep winning those Wisconsin Broadcast Association awards with your partner at Wing Stinks.
Thank you.
Must have forgot to read that.
Mike tweets in, the reason there was the hill with the Astros, there used to be a hill in Cincinnati. Do you remember Crowley Field? There was a hill at the old Crowley Field.
Crosby Field, I think it was called.
Either way.
Yeah.
That's where the
idea was after the old Terry Crowley, the former pinch hitter.
You're both wrong. It's Crosley Field.
Crosley Field.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Crosby Field. I thought it was named after Bing Crosby at first.
Bing Crosby.
My fault.
Field.
I don't think that. If it happened back in the 40s or 50s, whatever it was, 60s, I don't know when Crosley Field was around. That would be a question better asked for our own Bill Michaels, 10-2 on the Fan.
Yes, get your Cincinnati Reds historical questions.
Yes,
in.
Yes,
10-2.
But I don't know. I don't know the purpose then. I was putting in. I mean, Houston. Oh, let's emulate what they did in Cincinnati by putting a hill in. That is dumb. There's better ways to honor the past than to put a hill in your ballpark.
I think the Brewers honored the past by doing what past teams have historically done, and that's leaving men on base in crucial positions.
And losing on the road.
Fifth inning, they had the bases loaded in the fifth inning and the eighth inning, did they not? Or the fifth inning,
They left the bases loaded in the eighth inning. But, you know, this wasn't about that. This was about Freddie Peralta having a bad outing again. And further questioning whether this guy, if he doesn't develop any more than two pitches, it's going to be a problem because he's thrown mostly fastballs last night, Bart. They were sitting on his fastballs. He was being tattooed. 6 runs over 4 innings. Well, I think maybe Peralta, he had that great outing last year on Mother's Day, the 13 strikeouts in Colorado. I feel like since then it's been a struggle for him. And last night again, he's got an ERA over 7 in his 9 starts this year. How much longer can they keep on running him out there?
Well, he's been very inconsistent, and he is still young. He's 23 years old, but he's very inconsistent. Even look at the start of this season. I know we always go back to that Colorado start, but let's not forget the start against the Reds this year, mm-hmm. Start of the year.
20 down up, yeah.
8 innings, just 2 hits, mm-hmm. Struck out 11. So, he basically replicated what he did a year ago. His last start at Miller Park was good. He picked up the pace a little bit, got through the first inning, six innings, just allowed one earned run and struck out nine. At one point, had struck out eight straight batters. So there is a good, good pitcher in there. But if you tee up on that fastball, as you mentioned, you're going to have starts like last night where he just went four innings, gave up six earned runs, eight hits, two homers.
And that's why they feel, since he's a two-pitch pitcher, that they have to, and it's not the time right now to be working on that in the major leagues, working on a third pitch, something he's got to figure out, you know, in the off season, because he's throwing mostly fastballs, and his fastballs, he relies on location, and when that location isn't there, bad news, bad news.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you.
I got some bad news. Freddie's throwing pitches right down the middle, and the Astros were teeing off last night. So, I mean, on the good side, Yelly once again homers, his 25th home run. And then Travis Shaw hit one about 600 feet that went way over the hill, if there is one. It went way over the train. It was a long-gone home run for Shaw. So that's on the bright side for the Brewers. Otherwise, it was a bad night. They were playing chase the whole game.
Freddie Peralta, just to touch on that and finish up that thought. So what do you do? Do you put him in the bullpen again? See, I don't like that, because it's still, if he's not performing well as a starter, you still, I mean, the bullpen, I hate when we say stick him in the bullpen. They're still going to pitch. So if you want him to get better, and this is why I want these guys to stay in one role, if you want him to be a starter, send him down and let him try to be a starter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, stick it on a bullpen. It used to be like, stick him in a bullpen to pitch in games that were out of control, one way or the other. But with the Brewers, I mean, they're trying to win a pennant here and trying to stave off Houston, or try to stave off the Cubs and win a division title once again this year. I mean, can they afford to have him even pitching in relief at all? I mean, yeah, send him down to the minor leagues. But, you know, this is a guy who they counted on. This is what happens when you count on young guys, unproven guys in your rotation. You might have something like this happen. And Freddie, I don't know. I mean, are they going to give him a couple of more starts to try to get this thing going? Like you mentioned, he pitched well against last week in the six innings. He struck out nine, but last night, boy, you watch a pitch, it's like, God, just terrible.
Well, this is that patchwork thing I've been talking about, where they're just, I mean, they don't have, we know this is going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with our starters. There's guys getting hurt. There's guys that are being moved from the bullpen to the starter role, then back to the bullpen. There's guys that are coming up and being sent back down. I mean, it's always, they're always trying to find their next start, and they never know. Like, how many times this year has Craig Counsell been asked after a start, well, what's the plan? And he says, we're going to have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because
these
guys are so wildly inconsistent.
Yeah. I mean, but this is what they chose to go with the three young guys. And, you know, Woodruff has been the best of the three so far. He's pitching tonight, but, you know, he's had a few moments, but but Peralta is just, the overall production of him this year as a starter has not been good. When you got an ERA of over 7 as a starter, you're putting your team in a hole. And if your offense doesn't come to play, played last night, but it, you know, I mean, 8 runs you would think is good enough to win a ball game, but not good enough last night.
Brewers were close in this one. It ended up being 4-3 in the fifth. They had a chance at more runs, couldn't play it anymore, and then Matt Albers comes in and Jacob Barnes comes in, and these guys struggled a little bit in that fifth inning. And that's where, you know, so your starters struggle and you're not getting 6-7 innings out of your starters. So now you've got to go to your bullpen earlier. And now you've got to go to a guy like Matt Albers, who has also been inconsistent as his ERA sits just over 4. See, in the fifth inning last night, I mean, ideally, when you've got a weapon like Josh Hader, that's where I want to see Hader early in the game in important situations, and not saving him till the ninth inning, but you can't do that right now because he's the really only guy you can use as a closer.
Yeah, I mean, this is where having that extra bullpen guy would help you out. Or in the past, they've gone to, before Jeffers was a closer, they went to Jeffers maybe in the fifth
Jeffers
inning.
Jeffers there would be fun.
Yeah, but yeah, I because of, without Knable either now, you're forced with the Matt Albers and the Jacob Barnes of the world to get the job done for you, and you hold your breath. Well, I mean, when Albers is coming that game last night, Bart, I don't know about you, but I'm just like, I don't know what I'm going to get from the guy. I was like, okay, is it going to be good Matt Albers or is it going to be bad? And then the first couple of pitches, it's like, oh, boy. And then he gives up the home run. It's like, son of a gun. No, I mean,
son of a dash, gosh darn gun.
It was worse than that. It was worse than that.
Oh, geez, son of a gun, Matt.
And then Barnes, you know, you never feel any good when Barnes is in the ballgame.
Oh, fiddlesticks, Barnes.
Yes.
Oh, geez. Yes.
Absolutely. So that's the way I was feeling last night.
What about Freddie as a closer?
As a closer?
This is a question I was asked on the On Deck show last night with our friend Billy Schmidt.
But he doesn't throw hard enough to be a closer.
This is what I was asked.
Doesn't throw hard enough to be a closer. You know, if your starter, if your closer is going to throw mostly fastballs like our guy Josh Hader, better be heating it up, man. Upper 90s. Freddie can't get there.
So my solution would be send him down and see if he can work on another pitch, but have him be a starter. If you want these guys to be a starter long-term, be a starter. If you want them to be in the bullpen long-term, be in the bullpen. Like Corbin Burnes, if you want him to be a starter, he should be in the minors too, figuring it out. Yeah, and they can't do that because they don't have enough depth, yet I'm wrong for wanting Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel.
Well, I mean, that's one argument for you on that one.
Thank you.
It is, but, you know, holy snickercats. You know, you can't get the job done. To quote a former teacher of yours.
Holy snickercats.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh darn. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. Despite our commiseration over the Brewers, they could have a handful of all-stars, and they should. They're a first-place team. What was the Cubs final last night?
10-3. And the guy you wanted on this team, Quintana, yeah, he was great again last night. Yeah, he was terrible. Just seeing him out there, just was like, wow. Good thing the Brewers didn't unload the farm system for him. Didn't look good at all. 10-3, they got beat. Oh, their bullpen was even worse.
So the Brewers still in first
place. Brewers in first place by half game.
Half game.
And the Cubs have dropped the first two in Colorado after winning three in a row at home against St. Louis this past weekend.
The Brewers could, as I mentioned, have a few selections in the All-Star game, although there's a different way to vote this year, and I thought it was so stupid at first, and now I kind of like it. And we'll explain that to you if you're not sure, and we'll give you the update there as well. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Perkins, where you can get the buy one, get one today. So you sign up at PerkinsRestaurants.com for the e-coupon, and what you'll do is print that or show that, and you'll get a buy one, get one meal. So yesterday, kids ate free after 4, but today you can get a free meal up to $9 at Perkins, and you can do that every Wednesday. Did have somebody tweet me last night that kids do eat free. They thought that maybe I was lying about that, so they went to check it out for themselves, Andrew. And the kid that he brought, a couple of kids here as I look at the picture, rainbow pancakes with the sprinkles.
God, you can't go wrong with that.
I mean, imagine being a kid,
yeah,
and dad takes you out, you know, school's done, you know, you're kind of itching to get out of the house. Dad takes you out for dinner, and it's rainbow pancakes.
Well, Dad would be digging into son's pancakes if it was our family.
Dad of the year.
You got that right.
How about it? So win over your kids by getting them rainbow pancakes and much, much more. That's at Perkins all throughout the Milwaukee area. 799-1250, more Brewers with you next.
Goes, 3-2 is a fastball, and it's drilled to right. Yelich going back. Yelich at the wall, and it's gone. A home run. Shot, Tyler White, second home run of the year, and the Astros take the lead, and they get production early from the bottom of their batting order.
Highlight, more like low light, am I right? Courtesy Fox Sports Wisconsin, Brewers lose to the Astros 10-8 last night. They are back at it tonight, Brandon Woodruff against Justin Verlander. Will have the On Deck show coming your way at 6. Of course, the postgame show to follow after the last pitch. As always, make the switch right back here. Today is an Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything Wednesday, and if we've got enough questions, we'll do it a couple of times, as you can win Summerfest tickets again today. General admission passes, a pair of them. Tweet us at 105.7FM. The Fan, use the hashtag AskCW. For your questions for Chuck or myself, could be anything, sports or otherwise, and we will look to do one around 7:50 this morning, should there be a lot of questions. Again, you can win Summerfest tickets one person randomly just for asking a question. So again, at 105.7FM The Fan on Twitter with the hashtag AskCW. This question we'll address right now. This is from Kyle on Twitter. He says, when do the Brewers do something with Jesus? Twice bases loaded last night, zip, zilch, nada.
I think with Jesus, and look, he was in there. They took advantage of the DH rule by having him playing first base and then actually Thames. I thought maybe it would be the other way around, where Zeus might be the DH and then Thames would be playing first base. But they put Aguilar in there with that 190 batting average, and they thought it was best to give Braun the night off. And, yeah, I mean, six guys left on base last night, Bart. It continues to be a problem. And he just looks so sluggish out there. Slow bat, just doesn't seem like he's got that oomph to him this year. Not that he was, flying around the bases last year, but it just looks a step slow this year on everything. I don't know, man. It gets to a point. I mean, we're way past that point, Bart, where you sit this guy, you got to sit him, right? You can't keep running him out there batting 190.
So you burn a roster spot?
Oh, man.
For what?
I don't know.
Because he can't improve if he's not playing.
But he's going to hurt you every time he goes out there because he's not producing. I mean, the home runs especially, three home runs. He hasn't had a home run since late April. He had 2-1 game. I think he hit one the next night after that. But since then, I mean, it's like the guy can't, Hero's got more home runs, almost twice as many home runs as Aguilar, and was only up here for 2 weeks.
There was the day he had two home runs, I think, in the pregame scrum, Council said, look, Aguilar's got to get it going.
Yeah.
And then he responded, and then we all thought, okay, crisis averted.
It was against a left-handed pitcher, too. He goes, this is a lefty's got here, lefties the next couple of days. Okay, Aguilar's going to get a shot here. Yeah, but now at what
point? That was about a month ago.
That was late April.
Right, so now, when I saw the lineup yesterday and I saw Thames as the DH and Zeus at first, because typically when they go DH, they give one of the outfielders the half day off and just let them hit and put Gamble out there. I thought, okay, they're really going to try to get Zeus going right now. They'll get him in there tonight. I expect him to still be in there again tonight, but we'll see. Cause I think that they are getting very close to having to make a decision. The reason you don't want to make a decision is because you've seen him produce. So if he produces and you have to DFA him or waive him and another team picks him up, and then you see him cranking bombs for like the Reds or something, I mean, you're going to be furious. And I don't think they want to go through what they went through, you know, with Scooter Gennett, where they just let a guy go and then he does go to the Reds and he cranks bombs and you're like, well, we could have used this guy. And maybe later in the season, the Brewers still struggling at first base, and here Jesus is with another team performing like he did last year. So they don't want to – you don't want to be wrong, but then at the same time, how much longer can you wait for that?
Well, I mean, that's the same way they feel about Shaw. If we keep this guy in the minor leagues, is he better off just trying to work it out at the major league level or hitting down there? I mean, these are the decisions they got to make in the front office. Yeah, with Aguilar, it is. I mean, there's going to come a point where, hey, you need another right-handed bat at first base, and you go out there and get yourself, you trade for a first baseman. But, I mean, you got two corner guys right now, Aguilar, Shaw, and throw Thames in that too, who are just been awful. I mean, Thames is hitting .248, all right, 0-for-3 last night. He struck out, looked terrible at the plate. But you got three guys here who are pretty much regular players who are just bad. And you're trying to win a pennant, and you're going with these guys, especially your corner spots. The corner spots, Bart, the third and first, these guys got to produce, and they're not producing.
Despite that, we are still in first.
How about that?
Despite all that, we are still in first. Despite the pitching problems, we are still in first. 414-799-1250, John in Franklin. What's up, Johnny?
Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Yeah, another regrettable performance from the pitching staff yesterday. I mean, I wish they would give Council, I'd get a press conference from him with the Council that I see pacing the dugout during the game, because the guy looks just like I would look. I know what he's feeling. You could just see it. It's just like, what am I supposed to do? I mean, it's amazing that they're in first place, and it speaks to the talent that is on this team. And I understand that you're not just going to roll out a lineup in from spring and everyone's going to hit 300 and everything's going to be perfect. I get that. But the things that they are dealing with, like you said, with Sean Aguilar just falling off the table, the regression in Aguilar since the home run derby is stunning. It's stunning. I mean, it's just inexplicable. And it's like they're going to have to figure this out on that side, on the offensive side especially. They're going to have to figure out because it's like a puzzle. What are you going to do? I mean, they're going to have to let one of these guys go or find a way to dump them into the American League somehow, make some sort of deal that, you know, whatever. This is where Stearns is going to earn his money. And then as far as the pitching staff go, I mean, Freddy Peralta, what are you going to do with this guy? You know, one out of three outings, he looks like he could be a number two starter on a good team. And then the rest of it, he's a hot mess. And that's the, you know, the problem is when we go up against the premier teams where there aren't big holes in the lineup to work around, the Dodgers, Houston, as you can see, this is where we're going to have a problem. And this is where I've been complaining about why they didn't bring in a more stable, like the Cole Hamels move or something on that line. I understand it was going to cost some money, but they just the instability. I mean, this whole thing is so unstable. They can look so different from one night to the other. And my fear is what's going to happen as we progress, trying to get to the postseason, going up like the Cubs, going up against the Dodgers. How are we going to deal with this guy? With these guys, with the inconsistencies in some of our main players that we were counting on.
Well, I don't think you mean, I mean, if the postseason started today, ain't no way you could go with Freddy Peralta or Corbin Burns or, you know, a few of these guys, Chase Anderson. You couldn't throw Chase Anderson out there to start a game. You're going to have to get a starting pitcher through trade. You are. You're just going to have to get a starting pitcher through trade here in the next month or so. But, I mean, offensively, guys, thank God for, like, that Grandal move. They went out and got Grandal, and I wasn't real big on that because, you know, Grandal, my lasting image of him was from the way he got pulled against the Brewers when he played for the Dodgers last year in the postseason. But Grandal, he's been so good in so many offensive categories, okay? He's been one of the best catchers in baseball, if not the best catcher in baseball. Last night, three more hits. Him, Moustakas, and Yelich have been carrying these guys offensively when nobody else is doing anything else.
That's how they built the team. They built the team where they're going to outscore the other team. That's the strategy.
Well, and they're trying so hard to force feed these pitchers to work. They want the homegrown pitchers to work, and it's just not happening.
Yeah, so they should go out and get some.
Well, I think they need to. They need to. They're going to have to. If they're going to win a pennant, man, if they're going to win a World Series and get further than the postseason, I mean, first of all, they got to get to the postseason. They need a better rotation than this.
So you agree with me?
Well, I've said all along. Yeah. I mean, not only that, the bullpen's got to be better. I think they need another guy in that bullpen. They need they got a lot of holes. They need a bullpen guy, need another starter, need someone who's going to drive them some runs at first base. Travis Shaw, if you're going to ride him out at third base, okay. You gonna get another infielder in here? They got some holes. Like he was just saying, John, he's right on. It's a miracle we're in first place. If the Brewers are in first place with this type of payroll, and so many guys are struggling, how do you think the Cubs feel when they're losing again to Colorado and their fan base losing again to Colorado, spending all that money, and still they're looking up to the Brewers?
Yeah, but who? Like, if you're a fan of either team, are you saying, who do you have more confidence in to rebound? Are you a Cubs fan saying, well, you know, Quintana and Yu Darvish and Cole Hamels and John Lester? Or are you saying, gosh, I hope that Chacin comes back healthy and Chase Anderson and Freddy Peralta figure it out? I mean, I feel more confident if I'm a Cubs fan.
Well, those are proven arms right there with the Cubs. But Quintana's proven, but hasn't done it. I mean, he was not good last night, and he's like 4-5, 4-6 this year.
Feel like they need a proven arm. They've got Jimmy Nelson working through whatever this is.
I think if you sat down, I'm sure with Stearns or Council, it's of course we need another pitcher. I mean, off the record, of course we need another pitcher.
Yeah, but they haven't got one in 3 years.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean,
so go get one.
They need to go out and get them. They need to get another starter. They went with these young guys, and it turned out, okay, the decision wasn't a good one. But I think a lot of us were all on board with starting these three guys in the rotation and giving them a shot. Burns, hey, we all loved Burns last year. He was 7-0 in relief. Same with Woodruff. We saw him pitch in the postseason and what he did in relief last year and a couple times he started. And Peralta. But, man, it's been a miserable failure for two of the three guys.
The update on the All-Star voting, the first update has come out. And remember, it is different this year. Baseball tweaked a bunch of stuff before the season, and I thought a lot of it was stupid. But I think I actually kind of like this now. So what they're going to do is you vote from now until the 21st, and then on Wednesday the 26th, at noon, you're going to have 28 hours to vote for whoever is the top three.
They call it a primary.
Yeah, it's like the primary, yeah. And then the starters election begins in a couple of weeks. So for the Brewers, they've got a few guys that are in the top three. Christian Yelich is in the top three for outfielders, actually number two behind Cody Bellinger. He's got more than a million votes in that category, so he's doing very good there. Lorenzo Cain is 17th, Ryan Braun is 20th, so those guys are way off the pace. If you're trying to vote them in, you also have Mike Moustakas, who's second for shortstops. He's behind Ozzy Albies. Yasmani Grandal is close for catchers. He's in fifth. And then everybody else is, you know, closer to the bottom. So the Brewers, at least to get voted in as starters, their three best guys right now for chances are Yelich, who I think you can safely assume will be one of those guys. And then Mike Moustakas is going to be in that top three. So you're probably going to need to vote for him come the primary or the real time. And then Yasmani Grandal needs a little bit of a boost. He's just a few thousand votes behind the guy in third, JT Realmuto. So I don't think there's any big surprises there with the All-Star voting. There's a few more guys that have votes than Yelich. You would like him to be the leading vote getter, but he's not. But the Brewers, I think, are represented where they should be, in at least for the offensive guy. And then remember, the pitchers are chosen by the coaches.
I mean, Yelich in second behind Bellinger. I mean, anybody else in baseball, you'd be saying, well, how is Yelich second in the voting if he played any other position? But, I mean, in outfield, Bellinger is the only guy like in baseball who you could argue is having maybe a better year than Yelich. But Yelich will get in. He'll definitely get in. Just looking in further at what Grandal is doing this year, yeah, Grandal at the catcher spot definitely should get in. Moustakas, if he's going to play second, if they got him in at second base there in the All-Star voting, he's got to get in. And if you would guess Zach Davies, if he continues to move on, the manager can't select Zach Davies. So I guess they could get more than, you posed that question to me yesterday on 5 for Free, it was over and under 3.5, but you'd have to strongly argue for at least four guys, wouldn't you?
You could get Hader, Moose, Yelich, Grandal, and Davies.
Five.
You could get five.
Yeah, I mean, you can make cases for all those guys.
But, of course, for the voting period, you can only vote for the offensive guys. And, of course, we're going to preach and preach and preach for you to get out the vote. Chuck, you have voted in the All-Star balloting how many times?
Zero.
You? God.
You?
I've voted 1,000 times more than you.
Yeah, wow. No kidding. No.
Well, Chuck, 1,000 times zero is zero.
I thought you said you voted 1,000 times. Thousand? Well, no. I usually never. I don't even know. You got to go to their website. They don't even pass the ballots out anymore. The old days of passing out a ballot at the stadium, they don't do that anymore.
I don't know. Maybe there's an app.
Must be. They need to get that word out there, I guess.
Go figure it out and vote.
How about that?
Vote Moose. It's Chuck and Winkler. Because Chuck's not doing it, guys. Chuck's failing to vote for your favorite Brewers.
Did you just tell me you haven't voted yet?
No, I voted 1,000 times more than
you did. Yeah. All right. Well, the maybe baseball needs to figure tell us how to get these votes in.
I think they have. I just don't think we're looking that hard enough. But either way, go out and get out the
white noise.
Get out the vote. Vote for these athletes, which we treat like animals, and the Warriors are fed up with it. Did you hear some of Boogie Cousins yesterday?
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, you're not. Oh. You don't agree?
Well, okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that next. Poor athletes, poor starving athletes.
Another topic Chuck's reluctant to get to.
Yeah. Sure.
But stick around.
But we'll get to it next.
Here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.